If everyone would, there should be an insert in your bulletin for the commissioning service. I'm going to ask Reverend Rollis to stand in the front of the altar.
Good morning, everyone.
And I want to introduce him officially. Behold, I present to you our new pastor, okay, Reverend Ronald Dean Rollis Sr., his complete name.
Thank you.
So we are so happy to have you with us. We can't praise God enough and thank him enough for bringing our new pastor to us. So let us begin. Having been called to be pastor of this church, do you take this people to be your people, this field of labor to be your field, without reservation of mind or heart?
I do.
Do you promise to give yourself faithfully to the ministry of the word, to the prayer, to be a good shepherd of this flock of God's, to be a friend of all who will permit you, to seek the salvation of souls and to nurture of the saved, to put the service of Christ and his kingdom above all else, if wronged, to forgive as you expect to be forgiven, to seek always to keep yourself mentally alert, physically fit, as much as you in you lies, to be at peace with all men, and to lead this church in a way of Christ as the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and strength.
With the Lord's help and the help of my church family, I do.
Congregation, do you promise to hear attentively the preaching of the word, to participate reverently in the services of worship, to share with this pastor in the responsibilities of teaching and learning, to assume your proportionate part of the church's benevolent ministries, to receive him into your hearts and home, to support his leadership concerning the welfare of the church and the winning of souls, to encourage him in his stand for right, to forgive him when he makes mistakes, and to follow his leadership as he follows Christ. Let us together reaffirm our high resolution and devotion to the preaching of the good tidings of salvation.
We consecrate our gifts
to the leading of children and youth to the knowledge of the love of Christ.
We consecrate our talents
to the healing of broken bodies and the soothing of troubled minds.
We consecrate our service
to the caring for the helpless and the relief of all those who look to us for help.
We consecrate our time and strength
to the evangelization of the community and the worldwide extension of the kingdom of God.
We consecrate our treasures, our efforts, and our lives.
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, at this momentous time, you have heard our consecration of our gifts, of our talents, of all that you have given us, of our time, of our very lives, to your service and to following Reverend Rollis as he seeks to follow your will and to lead us, the flock. We ask your guidance that you have always provided. We ask your blessings upon the pastor. We ask your blessings upon us as a congregation. We pray most of all that your kingdom come and that your will be done through us and in this community, so that your name might be glorified and that you would be lifted up and that your son might be the savior of all who would accept him. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, 605, Living for Jesus.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, ladies on the piano and the organ. That's just beautiful. George and Robert, thank you very much for that beautiful ceremony. Just then when you ended with this song, that's a pop. If we could get to that point in our life where we live for Jesus, then we've led a good life. Before we read Scripture today, the Lord led me to want to make sure that always saying thank you. A lot of times in my ministry, I'll tell people, I want us always to come back to the Lord and say thank you. But I pray that I will always make sure that I am one of the ones that come back and say, thank you, Lord, for healing this leper. We all are lepers in some way or another. Some see it on the outside. Sometimes it's in the inside. And only the Lord knows. But be a thankful, humble, healed leper. When I was ordained, I received a Bible from the congregation at First Baptist Church of Southern Pines in North Carolina. Now I'd like to present, I have an Air Force edition of the Holy Scriptures. George, you're in the Air Force? Come on up here. Would you mind? To George O'Brien for his service to the Lord and to our country and the entire body of First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Many thanks to you, to all those who served on the pastoral search committee, every one of you that encouraged them and prayed for them throughout the pastor search process. I'm sure that Robert, as the chairman of the deacons and this congregation that commissioned you to go and seek out the pastor for that the Lord is called to be the guardian of our souls. Your task is now complete.
Thank you.
To each of you and everyone, would all those that were on the pastoral search committee stand up for me, please?
Please.
To each of you, we'd like to give a round of applause and say, well done, good and faithful servants. Thank you all very, very much. George, thank you very much. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
It's always nice to know when our mission is complete. I have spent quite a bit of time in preparing for the sermon today. And the sermon comes from Psalm 121. And the Lord's message for you and me today is the Lord is your keeper. But as you're opening your Bible, in your pew Bible, it should be on page 536. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit at awe, not only overwhelmed by the magnificent beauty of this building and this church and its standing in this community, but more importantly, my wife and I are overwhelmed by the people that make up the body of Christ at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. And I really do believe it's because, I'm sorry, you're going to start getting me crying a lot probably today. Maybe it's just because I haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but it's the pastors. Reverends, we thank you all very, very much for your faithfulness. Dr. Hearn, I hope I have a chance to be able to see and talk with you a lot more. I am just so grateful to our pastors that have been here faithfully lifting up your arms. I'm going to preach a sermon out of Exodus in this next month, and the first battle that happened after the people of Israel were released from slavery in Egypt. And I want to talk, we're going to take an exciting time in that message on the first battle that took place as a people. But the pastors were remind me so much of Moses. And as he stood out there on the hill, and he had to one side, he had his brother Aaron, who was the priest of the people. But very few people who know who was on the other side of Moses during that battle. And that was his brother-in-law, Hur. And a lot of times people would say, ask me in my ministry, they say, what do you do in ministry? I say, I'm a Hur. Well, it kind of confuses them because, you know, what do you mean you are a Hur? That gets, there's a lot of questions that come in your mind when you say, I'm a Hur. But it's an H-U-R. He was married to Miriam, Moses' older sister. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be an exciting sermon. But I want to tell you something as pastors. When we're lifting up the rod of God and we are asking for victory on the battlefield for our people here at First Baptist Church and in Piedmont and in this state and in this country and around the world, I'm going to tell you, the pastors will tell you, I'm sharing with you, our arms get tired and they start to come down. And what happened to Moses was they started to lose the fight. And what happened was is that Aaron and Hur sat Moses on a rock. And sometimes we have to sit down as pastors. And sometimes our arms get really, really tired. And I am so thrilled that this body of believers led by the deacons and the governing body of this church were wise enough not to have it be in one person that kind of governs everything, but it's the congregation that governs and the pastor pastors, and that you are the one on the left and you are the one on the right of your pastor that have to lift our arms up. Sherry and I, in our whole time of processing, going through the pastoral search committee, getting the keys to the pastor's study, which is still under construction a little bit. I got too many boxes still in there. I can tell you right now, Sherry and I have always felt there has not been a moment that we have not felt you lifting up our arms. May we be faithful, sometimes sitting on a rock, sometimes sitting in a rocker, but holding our arms up, trusting in the Lord to do His work for the kingdom of God at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Now, I have a sermon that comes from Psalm 121, but I have made a decision early this morning. I went to bed about midnight last night. I did not want to rush anything today because the focus was on the commissioning service. And I want to only talk a little bit about Psalm 121 today, but I'm going to give you my sermon that I have right here. I got proof. It's right here. But I'm going to give you this sermon next week. Because I don't want you to miss what the Lord asked me to tell you. Does that make sense? Why should I rush what God's message for you? Oh my goodness. That would be tantamount to a sin on my life to withhold that. So I'm only going to talk a little bit about, we're going to read Psalm 121. And what I'd like to have you do is that I'd like to have everybody stand up and let's read together Psalm 121. I have the edition that's in the Pew Bible so that we make sure that we're not reading five different translations. So let us begin. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. Please have a seat. You know, I tell you a really quick story. One of the friends, dear friends of mine by the name of Josh McDowell. Josh, we had called him. He used to play racquetball with my roommate. And then we'd hang out together, and he'd go around the country, and he'd do a lot of speaking. And Josh has written a number of books. One is, many of you probably read through Campus Crusade for Christ on evidence that demands a verdict. Well, my being a lawyer also tells you that I had an interest in how he approached that. And then he's got the more evidence that demands a verdict. But I served on the board of trustees for the Bible Institute of Los Angeles for 26 years, Biola University in La Mirada, California. And Josh's son was graduating from Biola, and we asked him to be the commencement speaker. And you got to understand, Josh sometimes gets a little out there. He's got a great sense of humor. And a very dear friend of mine that has been the president of Biola University has now gone on to be with the Lord, Dr. Clyde Cook. And Clyde had been with as a student and then as a professor and then as the president of Biola University for probably over 45 years. So Clyde had asked Josh to be the commencement speaker. And you know, he stood up there, got the sea of all the graduates and all the parents, and his son's out there going to graduate, and everybody's excited to hear what the famous Josh McDowell had to say for this commencement speech. He spoke 18 words and then sat down. That really stunned everybody. Dr. Cook stood up and said, "We should have paid him by the word." But interestingly enough, of 26 commencements, the winter and the summer, do you know what? That's the only commencement speaker I remember. So I'm going to give my commissioning service sermon for this morning out of Psalm 121 in four words. But I have a pause. The Lord's message for us, for you and me today, is that the Lord is your keeper, and we'll talk more about that next week. We just read Psalm 121. It's a praise hymn that can be summed up in three words: trust, confession, and blessings. And I'm going to elaborate more on those three things, but that's my Josh McDowell message, is trust, confession, and blessings. Hopefully, you may not remember anything else, but from this commissioning service, hopefully you'll remember I summed it up in four words. So there you go. The main theme of Psalm 121 is that all who travel through life, that put their complete trust and their confidence in Yahweh with all humility and confession and obedience in keeping their covenantal agreement with God along the way, that they will receive, listen to me, that you will receive a lifetime of blessings from the Lord. When I talked with the pastor search committee, when I talked with the meet and greet, which was amazing, Sherry joined me for that, and thank you. I want to make sure that I recognize that the most important thing in my life on earth is my wonderful wife of 43 years, Sherry Rollis, who's given us five beautiful children and now two grandchildren. And we may be having our children from Osaka, Japan, joining us next Sunday. So pray that we can get them here. And Nozomi, our 18-month-old, can get in the nursery. That'll be a lot of fun to have them. They'll be traveling from Japan to come to services next week. So hopefully that all works out. But I want to talk about, in our few minutes left, the three things that we said about Psalm 121, to trust, confession, and blessings, equates to the three things that I hope I was clear about when I talked to the pastor search committee, when I talked with the congregation, and that is there are three very, very important things that the Lord has laid on my heart for First Baptist Church of Piedmont. And I cannot do this without you. We have to do it together. We have to do it corporately. The first one goes to the word trust. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, increase our faith. So the first commitment I have to the congregation here is in shepherding. And as I said, I take it very seriously as a pastor that pastors are guardians of souls. That is a huge responsibility, and I knowingly and intentionally accepted that, knowing that I was totally inadequate to do it myself. I am realistic after 64 years to tell you that very quickly I can be out eating grass if I think I can do things that only the Lord and the Holy Spirit can do in my life, through my life, in this congregation, through this congregation, into the community, and with one another. So when we talk about trust, one of the things that is a goal for me, I'll always use it as a barometer, as a checking to see, is what I'm about ready to do or what I'm about ready to say, is it going to help Linda, Lisa, Debbie, George, Robert, Susan, Rod, everybody, is it going to help them increase their faith? If not, it has no eternal value. I need to move on to something that increases, helps to increase your faith. The second one that we talked about out of Psalm 121 is confession. Now, confession is one of the areas that is a part of spiritual disciplines. I have a very good friend. He went on to be with the Lord when I was in Afghanistan, by the name of Dallas Willard. Dallas was a great mentor to Richard Foster. And we'll talk a lot about some of the things that they had to say about spiritual disciplines. But I want to make sure that I am helping you develop your daily spiritual disciplines. Prayer. Meditation. Fasting. Your outward disciplines. One of the things in moving, I hate to tell you this, guys, I have to do a lot more in the area of simplicity. I felt like I was in moving purgatory moving here. It was like they were coming out of the woodwork, these boxes. Simplicity. Service. Now, this is something I'm going to say probably a number of times, and because I'm getting older, you guys got to allow me to say it don't just say that because Ron is old and he forgets. Say, well, Paul said, I'm repeating this, but it's important enough to repeat it. So always err on the side that I'm saying it because it's important, not because I'm just losing my mind. And that is service in the church. Service to one of you is not biblical service if it does not preceded by submission and humility. If we are not humble and a servant to one another, your service, even though you may say it's in Christ's name, will have no eternal value because your motive and your intent is not Christ-like. So I need to help lead you in not only serving in the church, but how to submit, how to be a servant, submissive servant, a servant leader. Every single one of you are servant leaders. You are not observers sitting fanatical in the stands watching the kingdom of God going on earth. You are active participants on the battlefield. You are the Joshuas. Some of you are hers. Some of you will be priestly, and that God has called you out to be an Aaron. And some of you, which I got to tell you, we need more of, and that's the spiritual public leaders that keep their eyes on the Lord. And we need to continue to be praying for our public leaders. So confession is one of the spiritual disciplines. So I want to help you increase your faith on a daily basis. I want to help you strengthen, through the power of the Holy Spirit, your spiritual disciplines. And then finally, in the area of blessings, we are not going to be blessed as a church, as a family, as a child of God. We will not be blessed if we do not keep all of God's commands. And one of the greatest, and as you promised in that commissioning service, hopefully you just didn't give the Lord and me lip service. I didn't do you. But you promised that you are going to go and further the gospel. We need to make sure that in order for God to bless us, we need to make sure that we are keeping all of God's commands. But the big one, the third one, I want to help you grow in your faith. I want to help strengthen your disciplines. And the third thing that I bring to you as your new pastor is the banner of taking the gospel out to the highways and byways. There are hurting souls out there. When I drive and I see someone on the street, so many times I'll throw out a prayer and say, Lord, I pray for that soul that it not be lost, that no one should be lost, but all shall be saved. And not only saved, but grow in all holiness in their relationship with the Lord and with one another. You see, it's not just enough to be saved. Yes, it is, because Christ shed his blood on the cross for us. That is enough to be saved, but that is not enough to be obedient as a child of God in following him, picking up your cross and following him. And a part of picking up your cross and following him is taking the good news of salvation, not hide it under a bushel, but set it on a mountain. First Baptist Church of Piedmont is the mountain of which the Lord has his light set upon, so that all may be able to see it and be drawn to it and receive Christ in their life as their personal Lord and Savior. If you have never done that today, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward. If you want, say, Lord, increase my faith. Well, you know what? The first thing, what's the first act of stepping out in faith? What is it? It's asking Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you're saying to Jesus, increase my faith, but you have never stepped out to ask him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do this right now. Because Satan, the world, and our sin nature wants to distract you and say, put it off to another time. So if you never asked Christ in your life as your personal Savior, I have the deacons here. I have George here that is just came off the deacon committee, but he's here. And as they play, that you come and say, I need to receive Jesus into my life. I need to get it over with. Now, you know what? It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. This was very, very difficult for me because my dad would not allow me to stand in line for cheese when we were in need. I had to go shovel coal to stock the furnace. I had to carry in the blocks of ice in order to put it in the refrigerator to cool the stuff in the refrigerator. Yes, I'm telling you a little bit about my era growing up. I had to work. So it was very difficult for me in my mind about this free gift. So you just need to step out in faith. Increase my faith starts with the first step of asking Christ in your life. I also want to share with you that if you have not been obedient, in Psalm 121, it says that middle one, remember? Confession. If there is something that the Lord has convicted you about that you need to confess to Him in order for Him to take control of the throne of your life so that you can experience the fullness of the life that He has given to you in Christ, you come forward and we'll pray with you at that same time. I'm going to turn it back over to Lori and lead us, but I want to, as we do this prayer of invitation, I'd really like to go ahead and we have 5:19. Okay. And then I'll come and do a closing prayer. Go ahead.